message. This is the fourth time I've tried to preach this message. Amen. And it's not because God doesn't want it preached. It's just a matter of maybe this is the way he wanted it preached. The title of it is called Bittersweet. The text is taken from Revelation chapter 10, where John is there. And he's seeing this angel with this little book in his hand. Anybody remember that? Revelation chapter number 10. John sees this angel. I mean, he's standing upon the sea, standing upon the earth, and in his hands a little book. Now, nobody really knows what the little book is, for sure. Everybody's kind of got their thought on what the little book is. But my thought this morning, and the whole gist of this, is that my thought this morning is that little book is God's Word. Because John was told that in your mouth, it's going to be sweet. Sweet as honey. But in your stomach, in your belly, it's going to be bitter. Does that not sound like God's Word to you? To that new man, that new creature, that inner man, that Word of God is sweet. But to that old man, that sinful man, that sin nature, that old creature, that carnal mind, it's bitter. And Paul warned us in Philippians chapter 3 about those who were enemies to the cross of Christ. Now, I want you to stop and think about this just for a minute. When Paul starts talking about the cross of Christ, he's not talking about salvation. He's talking about death. When he talks about the cross of Christ, he's talking about death to self. Amen. Because when he's talking about salvation, he talks about the resurrection. Hallelujah. And that newness of life. And how that Christ was dead, buried, and we are now forgiven and sanctified and justified by the resurrection. And that's salvation and that's life. But when he's talking about the cross of Christ, he's talking about the death of flesh. And he said, these are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. This is Philippians chapter 3, verse number 19. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly. That means they do their will and not God's. In your mouth it'll be sweet, in your belly it'll be bitter. Whose God is their belly, their self-will, their self-want, their self-desires. Now, if you're living a life that is more filled with self-will, self-want, and self-desires, that is not the Christian life. That is just somebody who's wanting Jesus to help them in their time of trouble, but they are not serious about serving him at all. Their God is really their own belly, their selves. They serve themselves. If it's beneficial to me, then it's okay. If God will do this for me, yes, I'll follow him. But the moment temptation arises, the moment a trial arises, the moment it gets hard and I have to work, they're gone. If God be for us, who can be against us? If God's on your side, why would you lose when you can win? It's all a matter of the choice. We have that will. Proverbs 16:25, and this is just one I added in this morning. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Cannot serve two masters, Jesus said. You gotta serve one. Joshua put it like this: choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. That is a proclamation, a declaration, an act of the will. More or less, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. Praise God. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You want to help your family? The way you can help your family the most is getting a single-minded thought on serving Jesus Christ. You're going to serve Him regardless of how inconvenient it is to you. Personally, when I got saved, my life was thoroughly and totally inconvenienced. I found out most folks was not happy that I got saved. Why? Because it changed my life. I didn't do the things I used to do. I didn't go the places I used to go. I didn't say the things I used to say. And thus, I was not near as much fun to be around because I was striving to live holy, righteous, and godly. And so I didn't have to forsake any friends. They all forsook me. The closer I got to Jesus Christ, the farther my friends wanted to be away from me, and I began to realize they weren't my friends. Because they didn't want to rejoice with me. They didn't want to worship God with me. They didn't want to find that salvation I found. And they are the ones that forsook me. You see, all those that will live godly in this world will suffer persecution. Well, I made mention of that in Thursday night prayer devotion. See, that was persecution for a young Christian. That's when everybody else is turning away, and yet you're still hungry for God. And you know God has saved you. You know God has filled you with the Holy Ghost. And I remember some Baptist friends that we had before we got saved, and then after we got filled with the Holy Ghost, and we began to share how God filled us with the Holy Ghost, that's when the Baptist folks left. I mean, we played racquetball, we played tennis, we did all kinds of things together. But when we started getting full of God, they just kind of wanted to go away. And they did. They just didn't call anymore, didn't invite anymore. We still tried, but they just didn't want to. But we just kept pressing on. Just pressing on. Enjoying that sweet word of God that continually brought death to the old man. Hallelujah. See, that's why the word of God is bittersweet. Sweet to the new man. But it really is bitter to that old man. That's why you can get like two responses out of a message that's preached. Some folks just think, yes, that is glorious, that is grand, and other folks get madder than a hornet. What was it? That was the bittersweet. Those that were hungering and thirsting after righteousness were being filled with the goodness of God, and those that wanting the will of God, they were just being filled with anger because it was revealing the intent of their hearts. Wow. That's just God's word. That's what it does. It's a sharp, two-edged sword. Amen. Notice that it's sharp. How many of you ladies like to slice tomatoes, vegetables with a dull knife? Are you not one of those persistent ones when the knife's dull, you just push harder until it... What do? I go sharpen it with something. I'm not a lady, but I go sharpen that thing. I like to lay a knife to a tomato and it just goes, and you're done. Amen. God's word is sharp. And then when it lays to the flesh, it just slices it off. Unless we resist. And then it's kind of hanging there, halfway sliced and halfway attached. You know, you've heard the Bible makes, you know, the accusations of a stiff neck, a hard heart. You know, it's hard to cut something that's frozen, isn't it? No matter how sharp the knife. Hard to cut something that's like rock, petrified, no matter how sharp the knife is. That's why I've got to prepare my heart. I got to prepare my mind.
And I got to be ready to be laid wide open by the wonderful Word of God. Hallelujah. Why? So I can make heaven my home. Not only can I make heaven my home, I can help my family. Not only can I help my family, I can help my extended family. Not only can I help my family, my extended family, I can help the world. I can help the world. Hallelujah. Why? Because I will have a heart that is after God. Oh, just like the psalmist David, a man after God's own heart, a desire to do the will of God. Hallelujah. If I am not called to the mission field or I don't have opportunity to go to the mission field, then how can I go there? And you do it. Don't misunderstand me. This is not a pull for more missions. Y'all are giving more missions than you ever have. Lord bless you. But what is that? That is you giving of yourself to the mission field. Hallelujah. Giving of yourself. Why? Because your heart is after God. Hallelujah. And you're seeing that's another way to have my hand extended to the lost and dying world. Hallelujah. I mean, reaching out in this community, just feeding them skillet. Believe it or not, that is you extending your hand to this community, to this world, so that they might know there's a God in heaven. Hallelujah. Doing a good deed for somebody. I'm surely you've done a good deed for somebody this week. You've done a good deed for Pastor. You showed up on Sunday. Praise God. That's a good deed. Glory to the King. That helps me. That helps the pastor's wife. You know, it's a little discouraging when you come up here and you look out there and there's seven souls. And there's room for 127. Hello? Praise God. So you've done a good deed. You showed up, encouraged the pastor's heart. More than that, you pleased God. Praise our God. God said He's with us. Hallelujah. And so I want to have faith in my God. And I want to make sure that I am totally thrilled with my salvation. I want to thank God for my salvation every day. Hallelujah. Because if I woke up in the beginning of a new day, it's because God gave it to me. Hallelujah. And I want that day to be a brand new day of my salvation in God. I am not depending on what God did for me 38 years ago for my salvation today. I am depending on what He has done already for me this morning. This day when it began, hallelujah, when I got up out of bed, hallelujah, got my coffee, got my donut, hallelujah, and started getting ready for the house of God, turned on the gospel music, and already worshiping God before I ever get a shower. Woo! I hope y'all got up in time this morning to clean up. Or I hope at least you got clean last night before you went to bed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But I don't know. You may have just got up barely in time to get your clothes on and finally make it to the house. I don't know how you got up. You know, I'm not saying I get up fast. I don't get up fast anymore, Brother Matthew. I get up with one foot on the floor. And I know I've made it that far. Hallelujah. And then I slide on out and 2 feet are on the floor. Amen. Turn off. After 3 snoozes, unplug that phone because it's charged now, and I take it with me because that's where my tunes are. And here I go staggering to get ready. And the more I go and the farther I get, the more she loosens up. Yes, I can walk up straight now, or upright now. Praise God. Woo, hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory. And I start celebrating my salvation. Hallelujah, because I'm saved by the grace of God. And then we come in here and we start singing Saved by Grace. I mean, hallelujah. That's how we're saved. By the grace of God. That's why we're still saved today. By the grace of God. And that we are continually having faith in our God. Because we know that He is. And he's the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Those that are willing to be obedient. Praise our God. Hallelujah to the Lamb. My God, so good to you and I. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Hallelujah. Glory. What is it to hunger and thirst after righteousness? A willingness to hear from God, to do something more for him. That's what it is to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Proverbs 27:7, the full soul loatheth a honeycomb. It's talking about a physical realm here, not a spiritual realm. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Woo. You'll know that your soul is hungering after God, that you're diligently seeking God, is when you just want more and more of God's Word to change your life. Woo. Praise be to our God. This is one of the greatest battles. And I'm going to close, and we're going to dismiss here. This is one of the greatest battles of those that are older in Christ. Not so much a battle of babes in Christ or those young in Christ, because they're fighting for everything they get. But those that get older in the Lord, they feel like they have arrived, Brother Matthew. And you know what it is to arrive. You know, it's kind of like that meant I am it. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? I am it. I have arrived. I have knowledge. I'm serious. I've caught guys on video who have that attitude. Like, I have the knowledge. And so then we become under the attack of pride, self-righteousness, thinking we have obtained all we need. Now, nowhere in amongst that is a hunger or a thirst for righteousness, is there? It's a whole mind thought that I've got everything I need. What do I need more? No. I need more and more of Jesus. Every day, I need more and more of Jesus. If nothing else, I need to be reminded of what he showed me. Anybody else in here forgetful? I need to be reminded of what he taught me. I need to be reminded of how I'm supposed to act. And I need to be reminded sometimes of how I've been acting. Woo! Mm-hmm. You ever caught yourself realizing, whoa, I'm acting the way I used to act and not the way I'm supposed to? You ever caught yourself doing that? Oh, yeah, you have. I know you have. Yeah. That's why we have to pray through and get refilled with the Holy Ghost. That's why we've got to get close to Jesus, fresh and anew, so I can start acting the way I'm supposed to be acting. Hallelujah. Because if I've gotten to the point and I realize I'm acting like I used to act, I've done slipped and I didn't even know it. That's just how easy it happens. But I have to, on purpose, get close to Jesus. On purpose, be conscious of what I'm doing. On purpose, if I find myself leaning that way, on purpose, strike the mat, put it to my finger, and realize hell's hotter than that, and I need to get back over here close to Jesus. Woo! Mm. I'm afraid sometimes we don't take it near serious enough, church. Sometimes I don't think I take it serious enough. It's life or death. And I want to choose a life. I want to choose a life. And for me to have spiritual life, there has to be death to the old man. And there has to be renewing of the new. That's why I come to the house of God. Believe it or not, I don't come here to preach to you. I come here to hear from heaven. I come here to be renewed by the Spirit of God. I come here to be renewed by the Word of God. Hallelujah. And I just happen to be the one that is called to pastor this church. And so I do preach to you. But it is only after I have been ministered to by my God, hallelujah, so that I can some shape, form, or fashion help you be ministered to by God. Hallelujah to the Lamb.
It's a bittersweet thing. You know that, don't you? It's a bittersweet.
But God has provided all that I'm going to need to make it through this life serving Him.
That's why I call it the great salvation. The Bible calls it the great salvation. It's the greatest salvation. It's the only salvation. But
it has everything I need, Brother Mike. Everything I need right now. Everything I'm going to need in the future. God's plan of salvation has everything to keep me pressing towards faith in God. And that is the only way that I can please my God, is if I am continually pressing towards faith in my God. Hallelujah. Because I can't depend on how many years I've served the Lord, because I'm saved by grace through faith. Brought by the grace of an almighty God through Christ Jesus. Oh, wow. That's awesome, Brother Pepper. Glory. How'd you come to that knowledge? I have no idea. God is good. I guess it's because His Word says so. How about that? Woo, praise God. Let's stand together. Let's lift our hands and let's lift our voices and let's magnify our God for what He's done in this house, this Lord's day already. Father in heaven, Lord, we magnify Your holy name. And God, we thank You, Lord God, for what You've done in this place. God, I thank You, Lord God, for refreshing my soul, renewing my mind. Lord God, keeping me on the right track.
Blessed be the King.
Blessed be the King. Oh, glory and honor and praise. Oh, it's due Your name on a continual basis. Oh, we love You, Lord. We magnify Your name.
I want more of Jesus. So I'll give.